Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 224466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Deuteronomy 11, verses 8 to the end, and Ephesians 5, verses 15 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz and is entitled, Jesus is God with us.
Chapter 11, verse 8 to the end. Keep then this entire commandment that I am commanding you today, so that you may have strength to go in and occupy the land that you are crossing over to occupy, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land that you are about to enter to occupy is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sow your seed and irrigate by foot like a vegetable garden. But the land that you are crossing over to occupy is a land of hills and valleys, watered by rain from the sky, a land that the Lord your God looks after. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. If you will only heed his every command that I am commanding you today, loving the Lord your God and serving him with all your heart, with all your soul, then he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain. You will gather in your grain, your wine and your oil, and he will give you grass in your fields for your livestock, and you will eat your fill. Take care, or you will be seduced into turning away, serving other gods and worshipping them. For then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit. Then you will perish quickly from the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall put these words of mine in your hearts and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. If you will diligently observe this entire commandment I am commanding you, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all those nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and mightier than yourselves. Every place on which you set foot shall be yours, and your territory shall enter from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates to the Western Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the fear and dread of you on all the land on which you set foot, as he promised you. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn away from that I am commanding you today, to follow other gods that you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that you're entering to occupy, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. As you know, they are beyond the Jordan, some distance to the west, in the land of the Canaanites who live in Arabah opposite Gilgad, besides the open Moreh. When you cross the Jordan to go in to occupy the land that the Lord your God has given you, and when you occupy and live in it, you must diligently observe aware of all the statutes and ordinances that I'm setting before you today. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, and then our New Testament reading is taken from the letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to the end.
Excuse me. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is Saviour. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of that kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ and the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much for that. For me, a quick reflection on both passages. A well-known passage in the Old Testament about loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. And this is within what was well known in the days of Moses, when two nations would make a covenant they would always be, if you follow those rules, you know, there will be blessings among us, but if you don't follow those rules, there will be curses. And so for that context, they were kind of experienced with this kind of commitment. And this is not a commitment between two nations or two powers, but this is a commitment between a nations and God, the Maker. And the way to life and the way to live as a witness to the whole world about what it means to live well under God's guidance. And so there are promises of health and wealth for them, and curses of destructions if they don't follow. And for me, it's to be seen about, there are principle in creation, how we are supposed to live for life to prosper, because we don't live on an island, we live with one another. And those were guidelines and principles to live well as a community. And with the New Testament and the coming of Christ, we know that the law was also there to show that no one can fully live God's life, God's way of life. There is a power among us, but also a power within us that makes us at times messing up and choosing the wrong things. And we need God's grace, forgiveness through the cross. Jesus died on our behalf. Took the punishment, took the consequences of that on himself, to open a way to God, to be reconciled and to learn through the Holy Spirit, through his very presence with us, to learn to live a life that is truly fulfilling with a purpose and that can be a blessing to others. Jesus is God with us. He said that in Christ, God reconciled. God himself came in Jesus to reconcile us to himself. And that's the offer, to be reconciled. And from that, we now are called to again express what it means to live well in community. And so it starts with community of believer, what it means to be wise people, to make most of the time, to understand what the will of God is. And I think it needs to be at the heart of each life of the church, to be prayerful and to want to understand what the will of the Lord is for our local church and our local community, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it starts with a spirit of gratitude, or at least it shows. Often churches that are alive and grow, you will see a great spirit of gratitude, a way of singing and praising God from the heart and giving thanks for all that he does in us and through us. But there are also practical realities about our own lives, with not just in the context of the church, but in the context of our community. So if we're married, our attitudes towards one another as partners, and then the passage will also speak about children and about workspaces. In those days, they didn't have bosses and employees, they had masters and slaves and other things like that, and what it means to be Christian in those environment. And this passage in particular, I think, has been often misused because we've missed the context. And there was a particular context in Ephesians. It was the place where there was a big temple, and usually temples would have priests, and they would offer all kind of sacrifice for the gods. And but this specificity of Ephesians is what the temple was led by woman priests, and the women were the masters and the leaders. And it was throughout the whole town and city that women would be those leading and guiding and interceding. And Paul wants to correct that for the Christian by finding words that describes equality, but also a structure that is helpful for the Christian household. And so, although it starts with this word that has been often misused, be subject to your husband, wives, when we end the passage, it's really about loving and respecting one another and finding a way forward that is healthy in the area of a household. And also what's often not said is that if there is a word for a wise partner, it's, I think on my screen is three lines. The word for the husband is, well, it's more than double or three times more. And it's all about how the husband should love their wives as Christ loved the church. What a challenge. So it is, Paul is there. He wants order, and he wants life, and he wants prosperity and wealth within the household. And there was a particular context, cultural context, where the balance of power was completely messed up because of worship false gods and the presence of that temple to, I think it was Artemis or something like that. But it's a challenge. Marriage is a challenge, and we need to have the support of the church, and it's my hope also in the future when we have a bit more space and time that we could also provide courses or material that helps young couples and less young couples. We always learn. It's a journey to grow and to manifest what a transformed life can be at home.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.